Let me just put a little note on the beginning so I know what this is. Mm-hmm. This is Marianne McDonald interviewing Ruth Rowe, who lives in Pomona Park and has lived here since 1907. Mm-hmm. A long time. And she's going to talk about quilting. And it's January 9th, 1985, and we're at Mrs. Rowe's home. And what are we looking at right now? Some pictures that a friend of yours took of you? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I'll just set this microphone right here.
Okay.
So that'll be, I think it'll pick you up, pick up your voice okay. There we go.
She said hers right up there.
Oh, she did?
Uh-huh.
So the woman from the Bass County News?
Yeah.
These are great pictures. I really like them. This is a...
String quilt.
And that's on your bed.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the fabric for this?
Well, a guy worked in a place over in Daytona and where they did sewing. And he found out about me and my mother would make quilts.
Oh, yeah?
And he brought all this bag of scraps over here, and I just sit down and chipped them up
mm-hmm.
and made that quilt.
Wow. How long ago did you make this one?
That quilt is running now near 30 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time, but my quilts don't wear out fast.
Oh, good.
Because I sleep with them in between the top sheet. And then a blanket or something over the quilt, my bedspread.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to wash them so regular. When summer come, hang them out and let them air out in the sunshine. Go yeah. right back and start using them again next winter.
Because washing them is a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. And we used to have to wash by hand in old Lord rain. That was something.
Oh, that's pretty.
That's me in the kitchen.
You like to cook, huh?
Yeah.
Who taught you to cook?
Believe it or not, when I got where I could read anything I found with a recipe on it, I would try it. My father would, if I said I wanted to do it, now he would make arrangements for me to get the material to do whatever I wanted to cook.
Would you get recipes out of, like, the newspaper?
Out of the newspapers, out of magazines, anything I could find a recipe on, I saved it. And then when I got old enough, the first cookbook
mm-hmm.
that was a household book, the first one I got, from Rumford Baking Powder when it first came out. And they'd have a card, and then you fill that card out and send it in. They would send you a book wherever you made the X in the little square. First, I got a household book, How to Keep House. Then, the next can of baking powder my mother got, I got the card out, and I marked in the square for a cookbook.
Good for you.
And I started with a Rumford powder, baking powder cookbook. Now, I got cookbooks, you name them, and I got them.
Before you used cookbooks, did your mother teach you the basics?
Not too many.
Really?
Cornbread, biscuits, just the old family cooking around the house because we farmed the biggest of the time and whatever we grew enough to last from year to year.
Yeah.
And we cooked and ate that. We had chickens, we had hogs, we had cows, and we had two horses. And so you cooked and ate what you grew.
Mm-hmm. Did you like helping her in the kitchen?
Yeah. Yeah, and as soon
lucky you liked it, because I get you, I best.
Started washing dishes when yeah. I wasn't but 5 years old. Had to stand on a box to the table. Honest. Now,
picture?
These are just some pictures of me and my sister. And
oh, those are nice.
And that's me there.
Mm-hmm.
That me? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's me there. And this is Jerry. This is my sister. And that's my sister. Now, I nursed her when she was a baby.
Oh, wow.
And she was born in 1906.
And when were you born?
1901.
And it was January 4th.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is another picture of me and another nephew in that same sister.
Were these taken out front of the house?
Yeah, right out there in the yard. And my president, she slipped and taken that, and I didn't know she'd taken that one until she'd done got them back and brought it to me.
Oh, that's a nice picture.
On the end of the porch out there. Now here I am sitting in this old chair, and this is, I was looking in a small book and talking to her at times, and I knew the thing, she had done snapped my picture.
These are good pictures.
And that's me again in the kitchen. That's the end of the old house out there.
Yeah, that's nice.
This is the old porch right out there. That's Mary Ellen and my nephew Jerry and myself. Did I show you this one?
That was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I guess these are...
Well, she always takes enough of them.
Yeah.
That I can give them some round to my relatives.
That's nice of her. Oh, here's another quilt, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that's an apron.
Oh, did you make that one?
Yeah. That's pretty. It back there in the room somewhere now.
You have a lot of ribbons. What'd you get these ribbons for?
Making things, taking them to the county fair.
Like food jellies, stuff or
yeah,
quilts?
Jellies, canned vegetables, and making quilts, making aprons, pillowcases, you name it, and I made them.
That's great.
And that's all of these are just alike. She's taken, I think, about 5 or 6 of these. Because
those are nice.
Mm-hmm. He wanted some to send to his mother up in Connecticut.
Ooh, that's different.
This is a... now, this is a picture. I don't know who it is. And she always, when she take pictures like that for the magazine, she takes the pictures. They go into this little book.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is
Bass Capital News.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't know whether I got a picture in there or not, but I guess so. But anyway, she didn't know who it was, and she gave these two to me. She said, "Yeah, Ruth, these are some of the Pomona folks, but I forgot who." And she only had just these two. After it got them.
It was nice of her to give them to you, though.
And she gave them to me.
Yeah.
Here I am with the string quilt.
So who taught you to quilt?
Oh, I just look after anything that I see and I want to make it, I make it.
Did your mother make quilts?
Yeah. My mother and my grandmother both would make quilts.
Oh. Did you grow up kind of watching them do that?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of quilts did they make mostly?
Oh, just any kind. They thought they were. Now, I read in a magazine here last week, a week before, a lady had, she was advertising her quilt patterns. And she said for 50 years, this started making quilts 50 years ago. I say, that woman is just as wrong as two left shoes. Yeah, I am 84 years old. And as far back as I could remember, my mother and my grandmother and other older women was making quilts.
Yeah.
Now, they'd have what they call a quilting party. And a bunch of them get together, and they'd get some old gourds and cut the tops out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd get a chew of tobacco or a dip of snuff. And each man had his spit cup around the quilt. 3 or 4 of them get together, and they would quilt a quilt out in a day.
Would they?
Mm-hmm.
How would they, what kind of frame would they use?
Use the wooden frames. They didn't know nothing about these homemade, the factory-made frames and whatnot.
They just use one they had made?
Yeah. Go out and get some pine saplings and chop them down and let them cure, and they peel them first. Let them get dry. Take a hammer and a nail and nail them together and whip those quilts in there and stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as it'll go.
Would they set the frame on the floor?
No, they'd hang it up.
Hang it, okay.
Mm-hmm. Let it tie strings onto it and it come down. Then they'd get their chairs and get around. And 4 or 5 of them would get there and it wouldn't be long. They'd have it quilted out.
And so your mother and grandmother had quiltings?
Yeah.
At your house?
Yeah, the house where we lived.
Do you remember when you were little?
Yeah, get under there and bump up against them.
What would they talk about when they were
I don't know. They didn't want us to hear. We had to go out. Yeah, we had to go out because you kids don't hear what grown folks are saying in the house. So we knew nothing about their business. You've seen some of all of these.
These are nice pictures. Well, those quilts that your mother and grandmother used to make, used to use just sort of a string quilt, like a strip quilt like this, or would they use more patterns from
the No, they magazine? Didn't use no patterns. I never knew my mother to go buy a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they wouldn't take newspapers. Oh, no, now I miss somebody out. The owner that's got plenty of money to buy a paper. If they found a quilt pattern in there, well, Fanny, you can have this. Mariah has a quilt pattern, and probably she would make a quilt like it. They never bought no quilt patterns.
Would they copy a quilt pattern, mm-hmm. maybe off another quilt mm-hmm. somebody
had? Yeah.
But they did use those kind of a pattern instead of just having the strips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use patterns now. I can't tell you all about all of these things. Wait a minute. Let me get in here and in this barn.
Okay. Where do you want me to put these pictures?
Back in that box. I had a bag I had them in, but I don't know what I did with it.
Right in here, huh?
Mm-hmm. Just put them in there. I'll get them.
Okay, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to be away from me talking.
Okay.
Find some more because.
Oh, okay. I'll put that over there with mm-hmm. the pictures. No. You want to go over it?
Yeah, we can go in here first.
Oh, wow.
And this is what you call a crazy quilt.
That's
I got
nice.
Started.
Let me see. Let me stand over here and I'll just leave this microphone here. Can I take a picture of you and the crazy quilt?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Let me see if I can. Where'd you get the scraps for that one?
Everybody that knows how to sew come along and gives me their scraps.
They do.
I got scraps enough here to furnish this county. Honest.
Do you like working with cotton or polyester?
Well, I like it all.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people prefer cotton, I think, to polyester.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that my flash here isn't working, so let me take it, put another battery in it, because I think it's so dark in here that I'm.
Well, you want me to open a door?
No, that's okay. I don't want you to cool off your house. I'll just go ahead and put another couple little batteries in here.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to get another quilt tarp.
Okay, you do that.
Log cabin.
Oh, that's pretty. That looks like all cotton.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Well, here we got some action. Oh, that's pretty. Have you been making that design for a long time?
For a long time. My mother and my grandmother made them, and I come up and I started making them.
Really? Did your grandmother move down here with you?
Yeah. They came to Florida before we did.
Oh, they did? Mm-hmm. Right here at Pomona Park?
No, they came to a little place over on the East Coast side called Dew Point.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then did they come on down here?
Yeah, they came on down here.
Wow. But they were South Carolinians to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a pretty quilt. Let me see if I can get a picture of this one.
Not finished yet.
Do you like the quilting part or the piecing up part better?
I like the quilting.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like the piecing better.
Well, I start, don't know how many, and never finish them. Until right here, since I got to the place, I can't do nothing else.
Maybe, can I take another picture of this one? Because I don't think that other picture that I took is going to work out. Well, I see this crazy quilt here. You've sewed that onto a sheet?
Mm-hmm, old raggedy sheets, and they wear out in the middle, then I cut them up.
And that's a smart thing to do.
Now, that's ready padded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to get this bedspread?
That's a beautiful bedspread.
I made three of these in a year's time.
Do those take an awful lot of work?
Yes, Lord, it's all by hand.
That's nice. Let me... So you call that a bedspread?
Yeah.
Would you just use that on... When would you use that? For every day, or...
Oh, whenever I feel like putting it on.
It looks like it'd just be used for special, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you
thanks.
Can put a colored sheet or whatever you want to on it.
What do you call that pattern?
Yo-yos. You remember the yo-yos the children used to play with?
Yeah.
Well, finally, some woman or another got smart enough to make bedspreads, pillows, what have you. And I looked after the thing, and it was in a magazine. See, I'm going to try it. I did.
Mm-hmm. Do you have friends that quilt, too?
Sometimes. There's very few people know how to quilt.
Really?
Nowadays. This younger generation, they ain't got time to be bothered with. This is all by hand and heavy as I don't know what.
It is. I'll help you fold these after
okay,
a minute. Okay,
okay.
I don't want to have you drag all this stuff out.
Now, what else has I got?
How about, let me take a picture.
Yeah, you want another picture
of this one. Yeah, because that's so pretty, that crazy quilt. When you're sitting down and making them, how do you decide what colors to put against other colors?
Oh, you just, I don't know. That's why they call this a crazy quilt.
Yeah?
Because you just put anything you think of.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's awful nice. So you do it up in squares?
Yeah, it's done up in squares, see?
Yeah. But now, do you ever lay two colors beside each other and then say, no, that's not right, and put others in there?
Yeah. Now, I gave the pattern. I made a square, and I've taken it to club meeting. And they wanted to make a hope chest.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided they would make it from this pattern. And yesterday, we got them all spread it out, put two tables together.
Yeah.
And got them spread it out. And it's a pretty thing when you get them all together.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet it's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
How many people in your club?
38. And we got what? There's only four blacks.
And the rest white?
And all of the rest is white. And I am the only one that takes interest in anything like this.
What are the rest of them interested in?
Nothing.
Oh, that's too bad.
Sit down and gossip.
Should I lay this crazy quilt over here on this chair?
Yeah, anywhere. Just throw it down.
Okay.
Can you read?
Yeah. Oh, look at this. It's recognition of leadership in home demonstration work. That's wonderful. So you were the extension agent?
Nope. I was just a member.
You were just
sometime
a member.
I was the president teaching different things.
Maybe, could I take a picture of you holding this?
Yeah.
Because that's really, what year is that? 1956.
Mm-hmm.
For Putnam County.
Mm-hmm.
That's a year after I was born.
Now here you is getting a picture.
Let me.
Oh, it don't want to work?
Oh, I just want, it takes me a little bit sometimes to get it really right focused the way I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that comes out. That is nice. home demonstration. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll take another one real quick just to make sure that turns out.
Okay, okay.
Who are these people?
That's my grandmother and my grandfather on my mother's side.
In South Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was taken here in Florida, right here in this little town.
In Putnam?
1908.
In Pomona Park?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, 1908.
That was a long time ago. That's
mm-hmm.
the year after y'all got here. Mm-hmm. And what were their names?
Frank Stanley and Mariah Stanley.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Did this go right over here?
Yeah.
On that nail?
Yeah, on that nail there by that little pesty devil that's up there.
Oh, yeah?
She'll be 9 years old the first day of February.
Looks pretty cute. She great grand?
No, that's a grand.
That's nice. I want to look at this picture here of your grandparents. That's really nice. Did a traveling photographer come through? Or?
Yeah. The thing you got in your hand is on stand.
Uh-huh.
And he had to put a black cover over his head.
Wow, that's neat.
And then he had a little gadget on the side that he pumped with his hand. And, I don't know, I was small.
But you remember it.
Yeah, I remember it. And I had a picture of myself, my mother and my grandmother, and my sister next to me, and my oldest brother. Mm-hmm. And then, I got to get the boy to put some kerosene in that thing.
Uh-huh.
And my mother only had 4 kids at that time. And my boy that's in Oklahoma, I had the picture in a drawer on that little table over there by the machine. When he was down here, before last night, October. And he got to plundering around. One day, wanted to get the picture for some cause, and I couldn't find it. So then I began calling this, that one, and the other one, wanting to know that there ain't nobody. When I called him, he was out here in Oklahoma. He said, yes, I've got it, and I'm going to keep it.
Oh, but he hadn't told you he took it.
No.
Oh,
I should get my Christmas mess out of him.
Oh, it looks pretty.
Now, there's another thing I started to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The dolls.
Oh, those dolls are nice. Do you make a lot of them?
Well, I just started it, and after I got that one made, then it come up this quilt, making this quilt thing for the club.
Mm-hmm.
And I throwed my doll making down and meant to help them because none didn't know how to make a crazy quilt.
Really? They're lucky they had you around.
So yesterday when I showed my outgoing president this little contraption I got hanging up there, she looked at it and she looked after me. She said, how long you say you made donuts at the fair? I said, 15 years. She said, well, you got to go on record. Nobody, she said, has no record of you.
Really?
I said, well, the first mattress covers that was made for the camp. See, every year, if some of us goes on camp, out here at Camp O'Keller. Mm-hmm. And the first mattress covers that was made, I helped to make them.
So you've been working for a long time for that club, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, while we're up, maybe I could take a picture of the bed, the quilt on your bed here. Would that be okay?
Yeah, you can get in here. Can't nobody get in here but me. Right where I sit down at, if I pull off some shoes. Now you see what kind of a housekeeper I am, and they have the nerve to be going around teaching other people.
Sounds like you've got a lot of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not stop me from going?
Doesn't sound like it.
Now, do I have to, well, I don't have to move my gown and my house
clothes. Oh, no, it looks just fine.
Okay.
Okay. You know, quilts are hard things to take pictures of because they're so big and you can't always get them all in. Let me try to. Well, do you want to just sit on the side of the bed?
I don't think so, because I can't stand up too long.
Okay, why don't you take a little rest? I'm working pretty hard here.
No. My washing, I got done last week, and I haven't put up all of my clothes yet.
It takes a while. Maybe I'll get down like this. That'd be good. Those are nice colors in there, blue and red and white like that. Mm-hmm. It looks like a patriotic quilt. Mm-hmm.
There is one or two squares here. This one.
We've got a little green and such in it.
Mm-hmm. But this is blue.
Mm-hmm.
Blue, red, and white.
How about, is that green over there?
Which one?
Way over by the wall?
No, there's no green in it nowhere.
Oh, there isn't?
No. Just a few little spots of green.
Oh, I thought that just right over in there.
No.
Yeah. Well, I just noticed you have a interesting cane here.
My youngest son cut that. It was a sprout that grew out on the orange tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pruning it up out there. And cut that sprout that had grown out. And he made two walking canes. Tree, but one of them is just a straight cane.
Yeah.
And I went up in Georgia to visit my son that lives in Oklahoma now.
Mm-hmm.
And forgot it and left it. Mm-hmm. And come out and got in the car and come on home. And when we got in Valdosta, I just thought, I said, you know what? I left my walking cane.
Oh, wow.
He said, well, you got plenty of that home. And so I guess he got it in here right on. That one there.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. It's just an orange limb that grew right out there in the yard.
Correct.
And, maybe I'll see Lex picking this place up one day.
Oh, it looks fine in here.
Well, one outfit one day, and then the next day I got to go somewhere else. I reach up and drag down the other one, and when I come home, I don't put them up. I just throw them up there.
Well,
do you believe this was made out of feed sacks?
No, I don't. That's feed sacks. That's
yeah,
awful pretty.
Chicken feed, bought chicken feed there.
That's nice.
And about all of the little tablecloths I got are made out of feed sacks.
Mm-hmm. I like the pattern on that one, all the fruit.
Yeah.
Can I help you up when we
can? No, I can manage to get up. You want to make people believe I'm old?
No, I know you're not old. I know you're not old.
I'm just, this knee, I fell out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And back in what? In the 60s. And knocked his kneecap out of place.
Oh, no.
And the doctor got it back. But he told me that years to come I would suffer with arthritis.
And you have?
Yeah. Now
here, hear that.
Here's another feed sack.
You did some embroidery on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's real pretty.
Yeah, that's another one. And is this a feed? No, that's not a feed bag over there. I don't know. That is back on the impression when
mm-hmm.
you're getting those bags. We even made clothes out of some of them.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I made a beautiful two-piece suit.
Right.
Out of some white fertilized bags.
Uh-huh. Are those some squares you're working on?
Mm-hmm. These are some kind of crazy squares. See, you put them together. Sew your material on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was smart enough, I would go all over this with a needle and some kind of a thread and make some kind of a bride stitch or buttonhole work or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to take time to do all of that.
That'd be a lot of time,
yeah.
I would think.
When you quilt it, do you...
I don't quilt this.
You don't. It's all ready.
You see, all I got to do is put a lining on the back of this. And then I go in every corner.
Mm-hmm.
What is the thing? You take time to fold it up. I'll fold it up next week sometime.
Okay.
You see, I go in every one of these corners. And we do what we call tacking them.
Mm-hmm.
Bring some, get you some kind of a colored thread, and just sew it in there and tie it real tight.
Uh-huh.
And we do it on each corner, and right in the center, we do it.
Did you used to tack them when you were growing up?
No. No, they started this tacking proposition, you know, in the late years.
Yeah.
All we used to know was to quilt them. Mm-hmm. Now they got frames that got ends to them.
Yeah. Do. Oh, those are cute.
That's made out of a milk jug.
Wow. Where do you get the base for it?
I'll go to craft stores. I'm fine.
Sounds like you do a lot of crafts.
Quite a bit.
I wanted to ask you, all the quilts you make, when you were raising kids and all, did you... You made quilts just for your kids?
Quilts? I've never bought but one blanket in my whole life.
Wow. Did you also use quilts, like, to give to people when they got burned out in the community?
Yeah, yeah,
you did that?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I let you sit there?
What, ain't that chair here I can sit?
Yeah. Okay.
I tell you, this ain't nothing but a factory.
A quilt factory, huh?
Quilt factory. That ain't all the junk out of me. Often, running something. All the bug killer I guess it was. You don't believe me.
That's beautiful.
This is what home demonstration is all about.
Oh, that's pretty. So this is a little butterfly you made out of some screen and some, what do you call these on the edge?
Sequins.
Some sequins. That's how you make it?
That's the pattern.
That's a nice decoration.
Outgoing officers, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I install them.
Oh, those are nice. Do you like making those?
Mm-hmm.
You like it better than quilting?
I don't know. I like it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not no great big deal.
Those are nice.
Just something to keep out of tongue tattling.
Keep you out of the pool halls, huh?
Mm-hmm. that's the stuff to stick it on them butterflies.
So they stick on the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
There's not no more junk in here. A lot of the junk that I have to work with.
Uh-huh.
Glue and whatnot.
Yeah. Should I put those right down in there?
Put them down. I'll straighten them one day. Soon. Yeah, I do all of this kind of crazy. Now, these is some of it's a little Christmas gift that I done up to send to my grandson in Atlanta. And my son went off and forgot it.
Oh, what is it?
I will carry it over. It's a year old now.
Is it a year old?
Yeah. was gone a year ago.
Yeah. And you made this for him?
Hang in your car.
Oh, that's cute.
Call them wee people.
Wee people.
Mm-hmm. I make a lot of junk and give around, and kids send it to them, or if mm-hmm. some of them happen to come home for Christmas, I give them something.
Oh, that's cute. That's a little yarn animal.
Mm-hmm. I'm always making some kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Damn. Now you're hanging a yarn over here.
That's pretty cute. A little person.
Mm-hmm.
Or looks like a bunny.
They call them wee people.
Wee people. And you learned that at Hunt Extension Club?
Mm-hmm.
Or Hunt Demonstration?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in this thing.
You've been making all sorts of stuff.
Used to back yonder during a depression when the work, the orange groves, they would get fertilizer and some of the fertilizer would come in heavy white bags.
Yeah.
And I made my children clothes, shirts, underwear, sheets, pillowcases, nightgowns, petticoats.
Made everything.
Everything out of bags. Some places we could get them. We'd have to pay for them, 10 cents a bag. And I'd go and get just as many as I could sack up. Me and four boys,
yeah.
Bring them home. Get them washed and string them out there. Get them bleached out and work.
Yeah, you're quite a seamstress. You've had a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm. At that time, I had the old pedal machine. It's back then. Back room. Now this one here is electric.
You have an electric?
Mm-hmm, this is electric right here. Back, I'm going to get all of this Christmas mess off here where I can get back to work. This one, we just learned to make, started making all these things here, the middle one here in November. We're making our little Christmas trees. This little one over here, that's a piece of styrofoam. Bought it ready cut. And you get corsage pins. And I don't know, my bow maker's around there somewhere. So you make bows and stick those pins in there and stick it on that styrofoam.
Yeah.
It's cut like a tree. And this is a bottle. Just a plain old juice bottle.
Pretty, you have that decorated up real good.
Yeah, just sticky something other in it.
Yeah.
Make something out of it.
Sounds like you just like to make things.
Just sit down and make them.
Yeah.
It just come to me and I sit there. Whatever comes to my mind to make, I just sit down and make it.
Well, when you were raising up those four boys, where did you get the material, the scraps to make quilts?
Different people. You see, I was raised up right here in this little town. And the majority, well, all of the older heads of the white folks is dead. Let me see, there's Miss Bice is still living. And Susan Middleton, she is from November to January older than me. And I helped her to raise her children. Because her children was all grown, mm-hmm. practically, when I got married.
So did you work at her house when
mm-hmm,
you were...
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you were working over there?
Oh, I was in my 20s. And her husband that she married, his first wife died and left him with three boys and one girl. So she was dead almost a year, and he married another girl. She's much younger than him, but anyway, he wanted somebody to take care of his children. So he married her. She was on her way going to school that morning, and He told her he'd stop. Him and her would have conversations on her way going to school. She had to go right by his house. They would have conversations. And this particular morning he told her, he said, well, you run ahead on to school and get out time enough. We catch the 2 o'clock train to go to Palatka and get married. At that time, you didn't have to, parents didn't have to let you wait until you got 18, 19 years old to get married. Now, her stepmother got married when she was 13.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, they caught the 2 o'clock train and went on to Palatka and got married. And later on in the afternoon, his brother went over to Palatka to pick him up. And her dad, he was running around here all over the place. Well, where's Susie? Where's Susie? Nobody knew where Susie was. Somebody said, well, we saw Susie and Mr. Haynes Middleton getting on the 2 o'clock train. Okay. About time he thought they ought to been home, here he come. Oh, man, he was raising sand with Haynes Middleton about stealing his daughter Mariner.
Oh, gosh. How old was Susan Middleton then?
She was... Susan must have been somewhere around... I don't know, she was 13 or 14 years old. I forgot now.
Oh, my goodness.
And he started raising sand. Mr. Haynes said to him, said, Mr. Watts, he said, wait a minute. He said, how did you get old Rena? Mr. Watts dropped his head. He said, Haynes, you got me. Now when Mr. Watts married old Rena wasn't but 13.
Wow.
And old Rena's daddy, the house that they were living in when her daddy found where she was closer than this house and that house up yonder on the hill. Because my grandmother lived in one house. Mr. Watts was a blacksmith. And he just came down here in Florida. Pomona used to be Pomona. Came down here in Florida. He came from South Carolina, but not where we came from. And he came down here to work in the blacksmith shop. And got down here, okay. Then the Thomases, they came down here from up in South Carolina, Georgia, wherever they come from. And, well, he seen old Rena, and his first wife was dead, too. He had a bunch of kids, girls and boys. So now he marries old Rena. And some of her stepdaughters is older than her.
Oh, golly.
And that old man, old Rena's daddy, he raised a whole lot of sand until he asked her, old Rena, do you love me? Yes, sir, daddy. That killed that. So that she didn't know, he would come over and ask my grandmother to go over there and tell her and show her what to do while he's going to the blacksmith shop to go to work. And so we all grew up around there together. Yeah. And she lives down in Crescent City now. And I think she's been married some 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
Since her and the Watts man got separated. They got separated and he went on about his business. She went on about hers. And she's been married about 4 or 5 times since. But she's living down here at Crescent City now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's somewhat older than I am. I think she's right now right around about 88 years old.
Well, how'd you meet your husband?
Cooking.
How?
Cooking.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a man who lived in San Mateo, and he had a brother. Used to be a time that they didn't saw the railroad cross ties off at a mill. Men would go in the woods and cut the trees down and hew them out. So this man that was running this place, the camp, had a brother, and they built what they call a juke joint. Well, now in payday come, that's where the guys all went, and they had a piano in there, and they would play the piano and dance and kick up the heels, and Then they fixed the place to cook and sell sandwiches and cold drinks. His brother lived in San Mateo, and he wanted a cook. He told him he knew where he could get him a good one. He said, well, yeah. I said, yeah. So this particular Sunday, he and his brother came out to the house. I wasn't living here with my mother. I was living out on our old places. My daddy died and left us. Came out to the house, Charlie, Willie. Charlie was the one who was running the camp. Mm-hmm. And he told me who this Willie was and what he was doing and what he wanted. He said, and you got the name of being a good cook. I told him about you. Come out and talk. What I can do with you today, but if you give me a week, I'll be ready to take over. So I went and I took over, went to cooking, and selling sandwiches and cold drinks. And that was out in Levy County, way down here next to Cedar Keys, going on to the Gulf. Got out there. Well, there was an old lady out there in the woods. And the high sheriff of that county was her cousin. And he allowed her to sell moonshine because the states was dry. So I cooked, sold sandwiches, I sold cold drinks, and I sold moonshine. And run that place out there until I got tired. Shoot, I'm tired of this. I left there. Down the East Coast. Second Cookin' Oaks Hotel, Rockledge, Florida.
Where?
Rockledge, Florida, down on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And they had a second cook, and it was a woman, and she was a drunk.
Mm.
So they got to hunting a second cook. And I was working the dry cleaning plant. Called to the dry cleaning plant and wanted to know. I was the only one there because we take it term in turn. All of the crew go for lunch. One stayed to answer the phone. It was my time to answer the phone that day. The lady called, wanted a second cook. I taken the job because it was paying more than I was getting at the dry cleaning plant. When the boss came back, I told him what had happened. I said, well, give me until tomorrow. I don't have no aprons. And I had to have aprons and a cap. And I dashed out and went to the store and got material and had made one apron and started on another one. And she sent after me. I went on down taking the job and started cooking at the hotel.
What hotel was that?
The Oaks Hotel.
The Oaks Hotel.
Mm-hmm. In Rockledge, Florida.
Rockledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went there and I cooked that 2 years. And I could have went on because it closed, well, not exact, just in the winter. The tourists come down. And when it closed for the summer, I could have went on up in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and got a job there because when Chef leave Asbury Park, he would come to Rockledge. He'd leave Rockledge and go back to Asbury Park.
Wow.
Because it would be open. That would be open in the summer. And he'd come down here and work in the winter. So I said, no, I don't believe I'll go. I believe I'll hang around home a while.
Why didn't you go to New Jersey?
Well, later years I did.
Just didn't feel like it then?
I just didn't feel like it then. In other words, my mother wasn't used to her children being too far from her.
So was your husband working at that?
I wasn't married.
Hotel? Your future husband?
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He was down there on that Thai camp thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I went to Rockledge and worked there before I went over here on the Gulf Coast.
Oh.
So I've been running around, cooking here and there, and then finally I decided I wanted to take care of sick people. Taking care of one old man 19 months, taking care of a woman 16 months, taking care of one man about 45 minutes.
die that soon?
Died that soon. And when the lady come up here after me, and I got there and I looked at him up, and she told me what time she was going to be back over there that day. I said, you might as well stay while you're here. She said, why? So I said, he's leaving just as fast as he can.
Really?
She said, you think so? I said, no, I know so. And before she could get a pan of cornbread mixed up and in the oven, he was gone.
Oh.
I called, I told her, I said, I told you, you better have to stay. She said, Ruth, really, is he gone? I said, he's sure enough dead.
Mm.
And so his wife said, what? Mm. See, he often does that. He just go like he's snoring awful loud. I said, but he through snoring now, honey.
Mm.
She said, you think so? I said, no, I know so. I said, what you want me to do? You want me to call the undertaker? She said, yeah, call the undertaker and the doctor, too. Right down here in Crescent City. The doctor come in and pronounced him dead. The undertaker loaded him up and carried him on to Crescent City.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a lot of different jobs before you decided to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you got married?
26.
So you wandered all over.
And was married 3 years before I had any children.
So how did, your husband was working at that juke joint too?
No. They would have card games over there. They had a place built on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go out there in this little hall place they had built out there where they'd have the card games. And, I don't know, they had this, and they had a window cut. If some of them out there wanted a sandwich or a cold drink or something, they could order right through this window. And I would serve it to them, you know, out there right through that window. So he told the man that was running the place one day, he said, you know what I'm saying? He said, I believe I like that cook you got in there. Charlie said, he said to him, he said, what you say? He said, I believe I like that cook you got in there. He said, man, she's a friendly person, or he said, yeah, I said, she's real friendly. He said, she used to being among people. So they had their conversation. So way after a while, Charlie came in and he told me, he said, hey, there's a guy out there who wants to talk to you. He talked to me. He said, yeah, I don't know. See, he talking about pulling you out of here. I said, he must be got some money. He said, I don't know how much money he got. So say, he gonna be around here after a while, talk with you. So sure enough, after a while, he called me Cook. Hey, Cook, how you doing? You doing all right? I looked at him. I wonder what has he got to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he come in and he went putting in his plea right off the bat. Well, I done said to myself, the first old crazy man come along and wanted to marry an old tired woman I was going to marry. And just like that, we got married.
Really? You mean you didn't hardly know him at all?
Didn't hardly know the man. And where he was living at, he was living in a house across the railroad from where I was. Two bedrooms. The living room and the kitchen. Didn't have no dining room. We ate in the kitchen part. But they had the two bedrooms and in this big kitchen in the living room. We went to Bronson on the day before Christmas Eve. We went to Bronson. Found the courthouse and we got married. Then you didn't have to go through no blood tests and all of that goings on like you do now. And one of my old work dresses on. Take time to dress up. Shit, I'm tired of working. Married 3 years before we ever had any children.
That's wow.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work was he doing?
Turpentine work. Working in turpentine.
What would he do?
He go along and skin them trees off of that gum to come out of them where they could carry it to the still and make spirits of turpentine and rosin,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And he'd always pick places that there wasn't no school. So we left out of Levy County and we went down here in Orange County, about 25 miles out from Orlando. We stayed down there a while, and then he thought he found a place better that he could make more money, to another place over here between Baldwin and, no, it must have been between Jacksonville and Lake City. Like, oldest boy was getting old enough to go to school, done old enough to go to school. Well, I did a whole lot of teaching myself to the kids. And there was the oldest boy, he was old enough to go to school. The next oldest one, he was going to soon be ready. About one Monday morning, I washed. That Monday night, I told him, I said, I'm going home tomorrow. He said, going home? What do you mean you're going home? I said, I'm going where I can put my children in school. He said, well, can't you wait until... I said, I ain't waiting for no next payday. I said, I done been and seen the boss man and told him what I intend to do. I said, and tomorrow he's taking me to Jacksonville and I'm catching the bus going to Pomona.
Wow.
That's 1939.
Wow.
He didn't disagree. He told me, he said, well, you could teach school out here. Up to the second grade, I say, I haven't been to take no kind of test or no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I'm going back to Putnam County. He brought a long breath. I said, if you lay down side of me again, it won't be on a turpentine job.
So you were just fed up, sounds like.
I was fed up with going from turpentine job to turpentine job. Come right back here to this same old house in September in 1939, and here I've been.
Who was living in this house then?
My mother.
Your mother.
Mm-hmm. My stepfather's dead, and she was living here all by herself because my youngest sister, my youngest brother, they had to go to high school, and she was going because we didn't have no transportation in this county, and my brothers was working down in Polk County picking oranges, and they wanted her to come down there where she could cook for them and send the boy and girl to high school. So she went on down there and put Sam, the sailor boy up there, put him in high school. He was in the 11th grade. Well, he did the 10th grade down here in Crescent City.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Lake Wales, and he done the 11th and 12th mm-hmm. down there. And so did my younger sister. And but I've been right here in this old shack. What time I wasn't running up and down the road from here to Connecticut, I'd go up in Connecticut and work some up there.
What would you do up there?
Well, I had a job doing housework. Then I got this job at the laundry. Ironing shirts. This was a hand laundry. And they was having difficulties on getting somebody to iron shirts. And one of my sisters that was working for a lady told my sister that Miss Williams was having a hard time of getting somebody to iron shirts. And you had to iron them just like they come out of the washer. You didn't hang them out.
Mm-hmm.
So she recommended me. So Miss Williams did too. Miss Williams drove up there after I was done off from doing my little housework. And she wanted to know, was I Mrs. Rowe? I told her yes. She told me what she'd done, what she wanted. And she understood that I could iron shirts just like you wash them and wring them out. You don't hang them on the line, you dry them with iron. I said, well, I wonder who was smart enough to recommend me. She said, Miss Davis told Rose about you. She said, and I do quite a bit of work for Miss Davis. She said, and Miss Davis told me about you. She said, and you didn't have regular work, you just had 2 days' work. So I went on. We went to work out to the laundry ironing shirts.
Did you like that job okay?
Yeah. And so I told her, I said, well, now I'll tell you. I said, I don't stand on my feet now. I said, I have to have a stool to sit on. She said, a stool? Yeah. You ain't never seen nobody iron sitting on a stool? She said, never heard tell of it. I said, well, I gotta have a stool. I can't stand on my feet that long. I didn't know wear shirts, getting them dry. She said, well, if it's like Rose says, she said, I don't mind going to town and getting a stool. So she went to New London and got me a stool. I started ironing. I just ironing shirts. That's all I had to iron, was shirts. And they would stand and they'd look at me. They'd look after me. Never seen nobody sit on the iron. Well, you go to Florida and there's lots of things you learn down there. You name it, I done done some all of it.
Sounds like it. I want to hear some more about this juke joint you worked in. What kind of music was getting played?
Playing there? The piano.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of songs?
Any old ragtime songs.
You like it?
Well, they were playing it out there. I was back there cooking.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever, after work, play, you know, dance a little bit? Or
never learned how to dance the first. Yes, I did. I learned to do a little dance they used to call the Charleston.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I could do that pretty good. And then used to have a guy, what's that guy name? A dual dance they called the Rope Shoulder.
The Rope Shoulder?
The Rope Shoulder.
Huh.
And you start prancing from one side to the other until you get almost just about that high from the floor.
Just about 3 feet from the floor.
Mm-hmm. And I could do that pretty good.
Did you like it?
That was in my younger days.
Uh-huh. Did you like the music a lot?
Yeah, I like the music a lot. And do you know I can't sing the first thing right now if I ain't got music?
Did people bring guitars and such sometimes to play to that juke joint?
Mm-mm, no.
Just the piano?
Mm-hmm, that was all. Now and then somebody would come by with an old guitar and he'd be fram, fram, framming on it.
Do you like that guitar music?
I'm pretty good. I got a brother that can play them.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Around here?
No, he's down Lake Wales. I'm poor.